This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
More encouraging vaccine news. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, November 23rd, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca said this morning its COVID vaccine is up to 90% effective in a large clinical trial without serious side effects.
As hospitalizations from the coronavirus reach all-time highs, more cities and states are imposing restrictions. Hear the latest in Nevada and Los Angeles.
President-elect Joe Biden has reportedly made his pick for Secretary of State. We'll have a profile of Anthony Blinken.
And some eyebrow-raising numbers about our Thanksgiving spending.
What we found is that a lot of people are planning on spending a lot of money in hosting Thanksgiving. The average American is going to spend $475 hosting Thanksgiving, and that's up about 50% from last year.
Matt Schultz at LendingTree on Thanksgiving money trends for this year. More encouraging coronavirus news. AstraZeneca said earlier today that its vaccine was up to 90% effective in preventing COVID-19 when it was administered one way and 62% effective another way. As you've heard, Pfizer and Moderna say their vaccines have achieved better than 90% efficacy. Still, the data will boost confidence about vaccine development because the world will need many vaccines. Meanwhile, a spike in cases has led to new restrictions in Nevada. Starting tomorrow, no more than 10 people can attend an event at your home. And restaurants, casinos, and gyms fall to 25% capacity. Governor Steve Sisolak.
I'm strengthening Nevada's mask mandate across the board. Nevadans and visitors are now required to wear a mask at all times when you are around someone who is not part of your immediate household, whether indoors or outdoors.
Elsewhere, dining at restaurants, bars, breweries, and wineries will be restricted in Los Angeles County beginning Wednesday night. Multiple reports say President-elect Joe Biden intends to nominate a foreign policy advisor named Anthony Blinken to serve as Secretary of State. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Blinken served as Mr. Biden's top foreign policy advisor during his presidential campaign. He also had a role as Deputy Secretary of State during President Obama's second term. Mr. Blinken's ties to Mr. Biden date back nearly two decades, beginning when he served as staff director of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, while Mr. Biden was a senator representing Delaware. Mr. Blinken, who is 58, made clear that dealing with the coronavirus pandemic will be the first priority for the Biden administration. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Blinken also worked on Mr. Biden's 2008 presidential campaign. Mr. Blinken's family has deep roots in diplomacy, by the way. His father served as ambassador to Hungary, while his uncle was ambassador to Belgium. President Trump continues to contest the outcome of the election. Members of his campaign's legal team pledged to appeal a federal ruling in Pennsylvania that dismissed one of their lawsuits. They also filed a recount petition in Georgia. The president, meanwhile, continued to allege election fraud in a series of tweets Saturday and yesterday, even though no evidence of widespread fraud has emerged. Meanwhile, no representatives from the president's campaign or legal team appeared on the Sunday talk shows to discuss their strategy. But some Republicans took to the airwaves to signal that it was now time for the fight to end. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was on ABC News.
What's happened here is, quite frankly, the conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment.
Also, the Trump legal team distanced itself from Sidney Powell, an attorney the president had included among his legal advisors. Last Thursday, without evidence, she claimed the election had been rigged by communist money. Trump attorneys now say Ms. Powell, quote, is not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. It's 10 minutes after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. House Republicans are looking to seize on their better-than-expected showing in this year's election to get a fundraising boost from outside groups ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. Republicans have so far netted 8 seats in the House this year and may still gain a few more. And while Democrats are poised to hold on to their majority in the next Congress, it will be significantly narrower than the one they had hoped for. It's a story by Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. Alex, what do we have?
You know, House Republicans had a better than expected showing this year. You know, going into the election, it was never expected that they would flip the House, but that they wouldn't get as many seats as they did. But, you know, they have really narrowed the majority that Democrats have now in the House. And so that helps their fundraising going into 2022. So business groups, association groups are now looking at their PAC spending and perhaps thinking, you know, we should give to the or be more selective how we give. So in a typical year, Downtown PAC World will give money to the majority or chairmen of committees get a lot of PAC donations. Now, I think they're probably looking at should we maybe give to House Republicans and see if we can flip that chamber.
All right. So if you're a donor, though, you're saying, well, Republicans don't have the majority in the House, but you say also in your mind they seem to have momentum?
Exactly. They have momentum. They have excitement around them. You know, we have a Democratic president coming in. So for a business group, maybe, you know, having a, of course, pro-business House isn't a bad thing. And so why not we work towards flipping that next time? And also with the Senate, if they can hold on, the Republicans can hold on with the Georgia runoffs, then you could have a full Republican Congress, you know, with a Democratic president, which is a pretty good outlook for the business community.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the House leaders on either side of the political aisle saying here about this?
Yeah, good question. So Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is very excited about how they played out on Election Day. He's basically saying that we're in a very strong position. We've added more people to the party. You know, going into 2022, we have the momentum there. Speaker Pelosi, who's, of course, you know, above him in the House, spoke to reporters and acknowledged that the Democratic majority is stronger. I mean, smaller, but is strong. So she did not display any lack of confidence there that she'll have the power, you know, to still do what she wants in the House, despite the narrower majority that she has there. And of course, she noted that with Biden in the White House, those two have a great working relationship, that Democrats are still in power in Washington.
Right. We're speaking with Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. She's written a piece entitled House Republicans Hopeful for Fundraising Boost. Give examples of some of the groups maybe who've spent big money and might do so again for 2022.
Yeah, definitely. So the big reliable Republican donors spent really big here in 2020, and they're expected to just grow on that momentum. So one of those pro-life group, Susan B. Anthony List, and they helped elect some Republican women in the House. Republican women had a great year this year. And so I think that they're very enthusiastic there that more Republican women and pro-life Republican women can be elected. Of course, the NRA, huge Republican donor, they spent $30 million in 2020, and are likely to spend more money even without, you know, a president on the ticket in 2022, because it will be a midterm election. Mm. And then, of course, the Kochback group, Americans for Prosperity, they're usually reliable Republican donors and spent $50 million on federal races in 2020. They did actually spend on one Democrat, but otherwise spend on all Republicans. And they're expected to, again, spend big and grow on this momentum. And I think all those groups, it's safe to say, are going to look towards flipping the House.
How come the Chamber of Commerce has come under some scrutiny?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So the Chamber of Commerce earlier this year came out with endorsements for 23 freshman House Democrats. And so that move was very controversial because the Chamber of Commerce is historically Republican leaning and it's the pro-business lobbying group. We had heard from Kevin McCarthy, who quickly criticized the group. And keep in mind, though, they did endorse 29 House freshman Republicans. And so it's unclear if the chamber will continue on this kind of bipartisan, if they're moving in that direction, or if this was maybe a kind of a test year.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Gangitano, reporter at The Hill. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
U.S. healthcare workers and others recommended for the nation's first COVID-19 inoculations could start getting shots within a day or two of regulatory consent next month. Moncef Salawi, chief scientific advisor for Operation Warp Speed, told ABC the goal is to inoculate 70% of the U.S. population by May.
This vaccine development is not different than any other, except that we have gone at an incredible fast speed with incredible resources and, you know, incredible commitment by all the parties.
Salawi says the FDA would likely grant approval in mid-December for distribution of the vaccine produced by Pfizer and German partner BioNTech. Moderna is expected to seek separate approval later in December for its COVID-19 vaccine.
Number two.
AstraZeneca today said a late-stage trial of its COVID-19 vaccine was highly effective in preventing disease. The vaccine, developed in conjunction with Oxford, prevented 70% of people from developing the disease. If people were given a half dose followed by a full dose rather than two full doses, protection rose to about 90%.
Number three.
President-elect Biden will pick Antony Blinken as Secretary of State, elevating one of his most seasoned and trusted aides. Blinken is a longtime Biden confidant who served as number two at the State Department and is Deputy National Security Advisor in President Obama's administration. Biden is also expected to announce that he's chosen longtime diplomat Linda Thomas Greenfield to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. President Trump's election campaign is distancing itself from Sidney Powell, a lawyer who claimed without evidence at a news conference last week that electronic voting systems had switched millions of ballots to Joe Biden. Trump campaign lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ella said in a statement, Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. The announcement came a day after a federal judge dismissed the campaign's lawsuit seeking to halt Pennsylvania officials from certifying Biden's victory in the state. And a sad note this morning, Patrick Quinn, one of the men who helped drive the wildly popular Ice Bucket Challenge fundraising campaign, has died at the age of 37. Quinn of New York was diagnosed with the incurable disease ALS in 2013. The viral campaign has raised $220 million for ALS research.
Wow. All right. So quite the legacy, at least, attached to his name. Yeah. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I recently spoke with Josh Hunt, their executive VP and chief business development officer. Check out the interview at thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. Well, Thanksgiving is a time for gathering over a meal with friends and family, right? But the holiday will look a lot different this year as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Compared with years past, more people are hosting and spending more money to celebrate, but with slightly smaller Thanksgiving get-togethers in 2020. More trends from Matt Schultz, chief industry analyst at LendingTree. Matt, give us some findings.
What we found is that a lot of people are planning on spending a lot of money in hosting Thanksgiving. The average American is going to spend $475 hosting Thanksgiving, and that's up about 50% from last year. And despite COVID and all the warnings about gatherings, 41% of Americans say they're planning on hosting guests on Thanksgiving, and that's up from last year, too.
But why would we be spending money when, in theory, our gatherings will be smaller?
Well, there's definitely a sense, and we've seen this in Halloween and other events as well, where people are just frustrated about the entire year, and they feel like they've missed out on so many things, and that their kids have missed out on so many things. So we're seeing some people turning that into an excuse to spend a little more and have some people over. And I understand where they're coming from on that, but there are many, many reasons why that's probably not the best thing to do in this case.
Yeah, and perhaps not surprising given the stats you've quoted so far. What is it, 40% say hosting Thanksgiving is a financial strain?
Yeah, and the last thing that we need is more financial strain right now. And even though people are still doing better than we might have expected this far into the pandemic, the truth is that most people's financial margin for error is still pretty small, and there's still so much that's unknown as far as the pandemic goes and joblessness that it's really not the best time to take that financial risk. But if you do, just make sure that it's small.
I was surprised, too, that some folks commit serious hours to this and therefore take off time from work to be a host.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, too. About 52% of folks said that they or someone in their household would take time off work to prepare. And it's important for people to assess their own situation when they're doing that. I know that there are plenty of people out there who find cooking relaxing and who find party planning to be a fun thing to do. But what we don't want is for people to feel obligated to do these things and put their job at risk at a time when lots of jobs are at risk across this country.
We're speaking with Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst at LendingTree. They've done a study about 2020 Thanksgiving trends. How about the potential, as you point out in the study here, about heated conversations?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to surprise anybody coming off of the election that that we just wrapped up that there's a lot of political debate out there and it gets pretty heated. But about 42% of people who are hosting Thanksgiving say that they're worried about things getting heated at the dinner table, and 22% of that, so about half of them, are nervous about politics, and about 15% are nervous about the talking about the coronavirus pandemic, and we know how politicized that's gotten as well. So it's just best, if you can, to keep the topics light. It's not always possible in family conversations or friends, but it's been a stressful enough year. Let's make Thanksgiving an easy one on everybody.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst at LendingTree. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Josh, what were the biggest challenges for MEDC from the pandemic?
Michigan was one of the hardest hit states by COVID-19. At the MEDC, what we did is we immediately began focusing on economic response measures from COVID-19 to support our businesses, our communities, and our workforce in every region of the state. The first closures of businesses here in Michigan as a result of the pandemic happened on March 16th, and it was on March 19th that we launched our first financial tool to help small businesses that were impacted. And so it was an immediate and ongoing response where we leveraged every resource available to help mitigate the negative impacts of COVID-19.
Thanks, Josh. To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone.
Expert insight, world-class reporting. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Monday, November 23. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. AstraZeneca, the latest company to announce encouraging news on a COVID vaccine. The New York Times says the U.S. now has plenty of ventilators for COVID patients, but not enough specialists to operate them. Biden has reportedly chosen a longtime advisor to be Secretary of State. A 15-year-old arrested for a shooting spree at a Wisconsin mall that injured 8. Chiefs over the Raiders in Sunday Night Football. Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow appears out for the season with a knee injury. And how a blind man ran a 5K on his own. that story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Merrill. Merrill Edge Self-Directed helps put investing within reach. Get started at merrilledge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated, registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Donald Trump's election in 2016 was widely seen as a rebuke of globalization, immigration, and free trade. This year, those issues barely registered. They were largely absent from Mr. Trump's campaign speeches and ads and didn't rate among voters' most important issues, at least according to exit polls. So what does a potential Biden administration mean for those issues? In-depth analysis now from Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Greg, your take.
In 2016, Donald Trump, I think, surprised everybody by getting elected. And what I think we learned was, among other things, that there was an underlying dissatisfaction among a lot of the people who voted for him that they had been left behind or their interests not looked after as the world kind of embraced globalization, whether it was capital markets, free trade, or increased immigration. So the temptation is to say, well, Trump lost this year. We didn't hear much about immigration, so those issues are no longer important. But I don't think that's true for a couple of reasons. First of all, we don't precisely know why Trump lost, but there isn't strong evidence that people specifically rejected those policies. And also, if you look around the world, he's really the only one of this crop of sort of nationalist populist leaders to lose. They've been reelected in places like Poland, Hungary, and India. Britain succeeded in leaving the European Union. I think globally, we still have this profound sense of dissatisfaction and alienation, if you will, among a lot of folks, especially those of lesser education who live in rural and less urbanized areas.
So begin with an issue like immigration.
So what we learned was that, first of all, Americans before Trump came along, and even more so after he came along, are very supportive of immigration as a concept. But we also know that Americans think borders matter and that there's at least a core of support for Trump that was not so much upset about immigration per se, but the sense that we had no control over who was coming here and that the laws didn't matter any longer. And so I think as a president-elect Joe Biden goes to reverse some of Trump's policies, which were very harsh and often received quite poorly by the public, he has to be careful not to let the pendulum swing too far back towards opening the floodgates, because then I think that you will then, again, bring back to the surface these fears and tensions that our borders no longer matter.
All right. And how about on the trade issue?
So on the trade issue, I think that there was a lot of unhappiness, certainly in the business community, with Trump's fairly shoot-from-the-hip, unpredictable style, imposing tariffs on a lot of countries, including traditional allies of the United States. But I think there's also an appreciation that he may be onto something and seeing that China was not fundamentally playing by the same rules as everybody else. So President-elect Joe Biden plans to re-engage with the World on Trade and the World Trade Organization. But in doing so, he has to ask himself, well, what if as a result we're then asked to play by rules that China isn't? What if we have to repeal all our tariffs that Trump imposed on China and we get nothing in return? I think these are tough questions that the Biden team has to work out before they move, because I don't think anything would undermine support for trade faster than the notion that we're playing by the rules while China continues not to play by the rules.
Yeah. We're speaking with Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a story entitled "Biden Beware, the Nationalist Moment Hasn't Passed." And in that, he addressed issues like immigration, trade, and climate. Finish up with climate here.
So there isn't much doubt among the scientific and economic community that getting net carbon emissions down dramatically, eventually to zero, is pretty important if we're going to prevent the climate from warming dangerously. But the thing you have to deal with in the case of the United States is that we produce a lot of fossil fuels here. Coal, not so much any longer, but certainly a lot of oil and gas. And I think that when Joe Biden said during one of the debates that he would transition away from the oil industry, mm-hmm. he kind of realized that that's the kind of language that really scares and upsets a lot of people. And I think the problem here isn't so much that Biden is going to go down out and shut down the oil industry, but he has to sort of appreciate that how we implement climate policy matters. Fundamentally, this problem only gets solved if consumers change their behavior, if they're incentivized through technology or pricing to consume less fossil fuels and more renewables. At the same time, if the U.S. has markets abroad to sell oil and gas, it doesn't seem right that we say to American producers, you don't get to access those markets, because if nobody else plays by the same rules, then that oil and gas will simply come from Russia or Saudi Arabia or other countries. you end up telling Americans they don't get to have those jobs, but somebody else does without any benefit for the climate. So once again, this is an area where you have a global problem, it needs a global solution, but U.S. presidents must approach these things, in my view, in a way that's sensitive to Americans' belief in fairness.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Black Friday's on the way, as you know, and let's be honest, things have gotten a little crazy. If you're looking for great clothes as gifts or for yourself, you can't beat CutsClothing.com. Cuts makes the best t-shirts, polos, and hoodies you can find, combining classic looks with modern fabrics. And when they say modern, we're talking up-to-the-minute technology. The new Pika Pro fabric is downright buttery soft. You gotta wear it to believe it. It's an amazing combination of fit, fabric, and function. Perfect for work, a night out, or anything in between. Skip the gimmicks. Pick up the quality, minimalist clothes that your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts are upgrading to. For example, I wear a Cuts t-shirt under an open flannel shirt with a sports jacket and just as a t-shirt. Shop CutsClothing.com between November 11 and December 1st to save 30% site-wide. That's 30% off everything with no code required. CutsClothing.com between November 11 and December 1. Cuts Clothing, the only t-shirt worth wearing. CutsClothing.com. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, by now, we're all pretty used to watching games on TV with no fans in the stands. But every once in a while, the lack of crowd noise still allows us to hear some funny sound from the field that we might not have otherwise. For example, during last night's Raiders-Chiefs game, Raiders quarterback Derek Carr was heard calling an audible for his offense using the name of a big-time scorer from the NBA.
James Harden, Mike! James Harden!
Now, using James Harden or the name of any other person or even a city for an audible is not unusual for NFL teams, but using Harden in particular made for some good social media fodder, given Harden's shoot-first reputation. Many Twitter users wrote that a call of James Harden at the line of scrimmage meant that the Raiders would definitely not be passing the ball. Another wrote that the James Harden play likely involved no passing, a whole lot of steps, and very little payoff.
Ouch, man.
Now, I tried to find out, and I was not able to find out whether it actually was a pass play or a run play.
Yeah.
My guess is it was a run play,
okay.
And maybe they were in on the joke, but I didn't get to find that out before I came in here.
If you're going to throw out NBA names, at least throw out a good one like Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well, yeah.
Right? That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Of course, you run out the play clock and you get called for delay of game, maybe.
Yeah. So I was wondering when it makes very little sense to me for these teams to have such recognizable names for their plays. I guess they probably have to change them up every time. Like that particular play, that's an audible that they use there. They might have to use a different name for that next time because if you said James Harden again, they would know exactly what the play was. That seems strange to me that you would kind of have a catchy name like that that someone can remember very easily.
I would agree, even during the course of the game or the following week.
Yeah,
right. If you hang on to that.
Right, like Omaha for Eli Manning a few years ago, that kind of thing. And for those who live west of the Mississippi, the opening of a new In-N-Out Burger in your town can be the highlight of the year, especially this year. And that appeared to be the case in suburban Denver on Friday. Colorado's first In-N-Out location opened in Aurora, and following CDC guidelines, fans could only get their hands on a double-double animal style via the drive-thru, leading to massive lines that had people waiting up to 14 hours and snaked all the way around the mall where the store is located twice. Early in the afternoon, the Aurora Police Department took to Twitter to advise people to steer clear of the area and perhaps choose to support a local eatery that day and return to In-N-Out another day. They also estimated the line to be 1.5 to 2 miles long and advised people who were still jumping in line that the restaurant would be closed by the time they made it to the front of the line.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and just makes me really, really want an In-N-Out burger
right now.
I've never had one before. I still have never had one. Even when I went out west, I, for whatever reason, was not able to make it there.
I haven't had one either, but I looked up the double double online and it's double meat and double cheese.
Yeah.
14 hours. I don't know. How long would you wait if you really wanted something that was a must have on your list?
How
long would you wait?
Well, I would not wait more than an hour, probably. That would be the longest. And how much food would you have to bring with you in the car to sustain you through that 14 hours to get you there in the first place?
That's an excellent point.
It's like a camping trip almost.
Yeah, you're going to bring snacks to keep yourself from going hungry. Then you're not hungry by the time you get the burger.
Yeah.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/sbblackfriday.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. New research finds that the year 2020 has been the worst year ever for American sleep. The study asked 2,000 of us about sleeping habits. The results found 51% pinpointing this year as the worst year for sleep. In addition, 42% said they can't even remember the last time they got a good night's sleep. Fittingly, 6 in 10 said they plan to make sleep a top priority in the new year. Conducted by one poll on behalf of Hatch, the survey found the top 2020 culprit for poor sleep, consuming too much news. 34% said that. Another 22% said spending too much time with their family during quarantine has also taken a toll on their beauty rest. Other trends that had a negative impact on respondents included Zoom call fatigue and burnout while working from home. In terms of coping, 14% say they're counting sheep. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Plans call for 20 million Americans to be vaccinated in December and another 30 million each month, with some semblance of normalcy returning to the country as soon as May. So says Operation Warp Speed Chief Science Advisor Moncef Salawi, who spoke with ABC.
We know that these vaccines are highly effective. They are as safe in the short term as any other vaccine that's already approved.
Number two.
Pfizer submitted an emergency use application for its vaccine to the FDA on Friday. The FDA takes up the application on December 10th. Dr. Salawi says vaccines will be shipped to every state within 24 hours of FDA approval of the application. Moderna is also close to bringing its vaccine to the FDA.
Number three.
A 15-year-old Milwaukee boy who allegedly opened fire at a suburban Wisconsin shopping mall on Friday, sending 8 people to the hospital, has been arrested. Wauwatosa Police Chief Barry Weber says this suspect was arrested Saturday night, adding that the shooting was the result of an altercation between two groups of people at Mayfair Mall.
Our initial investigation led us to believe that this was not a riot, not a random, and therefore no immediate danger to the public existed.
4 bystanders also suffered non-life-threatening injuries. As they search for ways to salvage President Trump's failed re-election bid, his campaign is centering on the biggest prize, Pennsylvania, but it has not worked well in court, where judges uniformly rejected their claims of vote fraud. In a scathing ruling late Saturday, U.S. District Judge Matthew Brann, a Republican and Federalist Society member in central Pennsylvania, compared the campaign's legal argument to Frankenstein's monster, concluding that Trump's team offered only speculative accusations, not proof of rampant corruption. The campaign yesterday filed notice it would appeal that decision to the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, if the pandemic is making you feel like you want to get away from it all, you're not alone. Real estate professionals say the coronavirus is fueling a boom in large ranch sales in the West. There's been high demand for ranches in Montana and other Western states. Brokers say factors driving buyers to rural areas include a get me out of here mentality.
I like the idea of a cabin in Montana.
Okay.
But I'd be by myself.
Too much work in a ranch.
Possibly, yeah. Plus, Kelly says she's not going. So separate retirement locations somewhere down the line. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A blind man has completed a 5K run in New York Central Park without a guide dog or human help. His navigation aid, artificial intelligence. Reuters says 50-year-old Thomas Panic, a marathon enthusiast, got tired of having to follow slower runners as a guide, so he decided a year ago to find a way to run solo. Mr. Panic, who lost his vision in his early 20s due to a genetic condition, worked with Google to create a program where a smartphone camera picks up a painted guideline on a running track, an app detects the runner's position and gives audio guidance through an earpiece. Mr. Panik, who operates a guide dog school, said it was emotional after his test of the app last Thursday, an event sponsored by Google and the New York Roadrunners Club. Pandemic-related social distancing gave a boost to the research to circumvent human and canine helpers. Mr. Panik said, quote, "The safest thing for a blind man is to sit still. I ain't sitting still." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.